So yes, as you already said, I'm a researcher. I'm talking today about the Kalevala operas, and maybe I tell a little bit on my background, because it's maybe not as that normal that some Austrian starts to research on Kalevala operas, also because Finnish is maybe not the first language you learn as somebody not living in Finland. So, as you can see here, I just in the middle of my study discovered these Finnish operas and the opera boom, and it was just the perfect time to not write my master thesis about Wagner or Verdi, but about Finnish operas and Finnish opera boom, and well, that's what came out of it, and it was published as a book, and maybe we have this forward to look at. As far as I know, this is the first and so far only publication about Finnish operas in German language. There is English literature about it, but not so much German literature. So, and the whole project continued then, that I moved to Finland and started to work on my dissertation. There were actually then two projects I was involved with. The one was the Kalevala operas, and the other were works by Kalevi Aho. So there's a similar sound in it. I don't know if this has also some meaning. But it has helped to really understand a lot about manuscripts. And basically what I'm talking today about is that this is kind of a project of source studies. So I have really gone tracing down the sources and really digged into that. And maybe to be honest, with the music history writing, because in Finland we have this, this music history already. It's written, there are several volumes of that, and still I have noticed that in this opera research, of course, there are gaps, and there have been interest more in this, and it's just to be continued, the work on researching all this. And during doing this master thesis, I started to have my own little database about all those operas and just figured out that there are quite many actually about the Kalevala, and I wanted to find out what does this have to do with nationality. How do Finns see, and how in which time did those operas appear, and why did those composers choose those subjects? And so all in all, I found so far 21 works, and they started in 1860, and just the last one was premiered 2 years ago. So this is not just a phenomena of some post-war area or some change of the century or something. It just has continued, but you always find certain points that you can combine. But so far, as you can maybe imagine, if you are working with 21 operas and you really research carefully on the manuscripts, you are busy for a while. So to give you an overview about Finnish operas premiered, and you might find this also from the book, this is just the timeline from 1970. And all in all, there are about 350 operas, maybe, now. So this has really been a very big phenomenon. And unfortunately, I have not been listening yesterday, as I was not here, to this other paper. So this is already much a longer time for where you can observe this phenomenon. And if you look on the other side here, there are just like 101101 or something like that from 1852. So, and even there you have to see that there was a German composer who wrote an opera on a Swedish text, and it's basically now the first Finnish opera. So you see, like, what we have heard here also, these connections, and there are many similarities in the developments and in the history. And also, if we come then to the Kalevala operas, I hope you don't get shocked by this list. There is a system behind it. These composers, unfortunately, do not live anymore, and they are still alive. So And this was also, of course, a matter in researching on this, because the possibilities you have are quite different. And what I maybe want now to present is some idea of how this process went and what probably very obvious the differences you can find in this. But also, if you look back in history, and like there is now this history writing project here, so that to become aware of these differences more and what you can actually nowadays do. Of course, this is a time-intensive research then, but well, it's maybe different here. I know that in Vienna we have about 700 students per semester starting. So, you know, if you just would take five of them to, you know, research on this, we would come much further. But, of course, the situation is quite different here and also in Helsinki. So what I'm maybe now and presenting is just really some details about these source studies and just some obvious division of it, with the material left by the composer and everything what has come after this. And I would like to start with Müller-Berghaus. Also Paasius was the first one, but there is a score, the performance dates are all clear, and everything is kind of clear. So also it's long time ago, and you can also intensively research on this. But first of all, I would like to know from the German scholars here, how familiar is Müller-Berghaus? Does it say anything to you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's the same problem on the Finnish side, I suppose. Do you? Yes. So, yes, he is this kind of unknown figure. And he has been a concertmaster and a conductor in Turku in the 1880s, 1890s. And I suppose that there is some connection that he had to Paasius, as he was the first one who wrote this kind of Kalevala opera. And he had this interesting idea, and there are ways to trace down how he came to this, to write an opera on Kalevala, actually in German language. So, I mean, imagine in Turku in the 1890s, of course there have been so many also German musicians, and so the connections are in this sense quite clear, but still it's a remarkable thing. And the point is also that if you nowadays read, and I really appreciate Kalevi Aho, he has done a great work with this. You may also have a look at this. He really worked on this Kalevala in Finnish music. But apparently this Müller-Berghaus, he was somewhere hidden in the archive and nobody went to have a look at it. So that was the starting point. There was basically just, you know, there was some Müller-Berghaus and that's all we know. But in the end, there was quite something rediscovered. I mean, the manuscripts, and even back to Germany, that there has been material and it has been even performed, also just the second act. But and this was in 1890. And then I also have now maybe to say that there is a bit this kind of gap, that maybe it's good there is more international researchers included, that I heard from Finnish researchers that okay, there is this Müller-Berghaus, but there is nothing written about him. But this was not true, as you can see here. I mean, at least there were 50 press articles. So there is some material if you want to go for it, and if there is the possibility for some more time-intensive research, that you really can find something. And now there is a discussion if there could be the whole opera premiered after more than 120 years, so I'm very much looking forward to this possibility. So that was maybe the first to talk about, and then also the second one. You heard earlier about Are Merikanto, and here it's a question about Oscar Merikanto. So, and this this was the first opera in Finnish language. So, and it was at all the first opera in Finnish language. So there was a competition, and for the first time, nobody won it because there was no entry. And then finally, Merikato handed this in, and it won the competition. And of course, maybe if you think about whatever great masterworks in opera literature, you don't start to talk about Merikanto, but still for the nation itself and for the opera life, this was a highly important point in the history. And even here, the situation so that the whole material has been given by Merikanto or his family to the archive, even some press clips he has collected. But even then you can of course go further, and so far, I mean, I could furthermore then confirm 24 performances and also 260 press articles. So of course we are speaking here of kind of vague quantities, and it doesn't say like what do the articles say, but still there was a discussion about it, and I will come later on back on where I'm aiming at. Then there was Väinö Hannikainen, also some not very known figure maybe for everybody in Finnish music history. He lived from 1900 to 1960 and was basically a harpist also, and in the orchestra, in the Helsinki orchestra. And he was performing these cantele parts for Erkki Melatin's opera Aino earlier. So I started to wonder how far or how close the connection is. So maybe you want to think about this, yes? Because we later on come back to these connections that are really very interesting. The point is that there is this other book about Finnish operas by Pekka Hako. It came out in the 2004, I think, and there the information was still like no manuscripts, no performances, nothing. The work has been lost somewhere, and finally it worked out that way that I could discover a draft and a copy, and I could confirm the premiere, and even more interesting for me coming from Vienna, I could confirm a performance in the Musikverein. So, I mean, that you know, that are the great things for researchers if you find such detail. So, and then above all, I could find quite many press articles, in this case. So, as some little choir was touring through Europe, so that's how they also ended up in Vienna, and also actually in Salzburg and in Linz and in Venice. So thinking about that, this work has kind of gone lost and performed in Vienna, there's a bit of a difference. Auli Sallinen is maybe nowadays a quite known figure in music life, and there's maybe not to tell so much about him. On the other hand, the history about this opera is quite interesting because it became ready before the new opera house was finished. So they had work for the opera house, but the opera house was not finished, and so they premiered it in Los Angeles. And even before that, they recorded it. So there was a recording before any first premiere, so any first performance. And of course, it's nowadays easy to track down all the performances, so there were 68 performances. And it has been played in, well, quite many different countries, so there are 9 productions they have made in Finland and abroad also. And, well, here you see now the good and the bad sides for this research. I mean, I'm very happy to find a lot of material, but this will become quite a big challenge. So there are at the moment about 400 articles, and really coming from everywhere. One interesting thing about this was also the situation with the manuscripts, because of course the manuscript was available, and or at least a copy was available, but the original was still, I mean, we are speaking about, you know, just presence. It was in a way lost somewhere with the publisher, and it just has had to be refound again and transferred to the archive. And then a similar thing with the drafts. Olli Salinen has some years ago moved his winter residence from France to Finland and kind of thrown away some not so important papers, and among them the drafts for this opera, and I suppose some more operas as well as other works. So, but you see, with the next case, this is about Tapio Tuomela. He is born in 58, and he still had all the material at home. I was very happy about this. And he also, you might know, the librettist. So it was really a great situation because all the material was there, all the faxes and all the letters to between them. And he just delivered me them like this, like, okay, you know, here is this and this, and this may be this phase. And so I was just like, oh great, thank you. And you know, like, you can do what you want with that. And well, the idea was actually, of course, that it goes to the archive. And he approved really every single paper to go to the archive. And there was just some letters, and they are closed, so they you need a special permission to read them. But anyhow, I was very happy in this case that it could be solved like this. And well, maybe we compared now to Olli Salinen. Anyhow, the draft is lost, so the most I can get is some interview and some explanations about how it has gone some decades ago. But with Tapio Tuomela, it was really like that he could himself explain somehow in which kind of phases he has composed the work, and starting with some kind of very weird drafts and making some lines more, and then having this kind of dramaturgic idea of how the work should develop. And I mean, this is just a great opportunity for any researcher later, because I think, well, maybe I'm not the one who will really research in every detail on this as well. The only unfortunate thing was that there were just 23 press articles, so even though we are speaking about the year 99, there was not more material found so far. But of course, it was possible to interview the composer and everything, and it could go to the archive, and we have with the personal at the archive, we had this kind of agreement that I do. Well, I make my catalogue and how I integrate the whole material into my dissertation, and then they get this paper, and because there is basically no staff there who would in that detail research on that and add it to the catalogue. So this was in this way that I'm a very fortunate case. Yes, and this is probably to be continued, because this right now just 4-5 operas. I probably could stand here quite longer and talk about it. Just what I also want to emphasize is, well, I already mentioned it, that the crazy idea of having this big project really is very time intensive, and also with the archive. So from the archive side, it's I mean, I'm very happy that it works very well in Helsinki with everybody there. But still, the personnel is not, there are not too many people, and of course, well, even in other countries the situation gets worse. So, and of course, if you think that they have many shelf meters there just to be catalogued from decades ago, and then they get new material from living composers, it's quite a big challenge, of course, for them. But anyhow, I think it's worthwhile, because you know, what we decide today. If we decide today not to take this material, which might be some kind of good solution today, or some appropriate solution today, in something like 50 years, if this continues, you know, to be existing, then we really the possibilities for researchers then are different, because we have cut the possibilities today, and that's something I wanted to emphasize as well. And another thing was the networking of the institutions. I mean, I have seen that this has been now really great platform just to make contacts and see who is researching what kind of similar topics, but that maybe also needs to be continued. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the demonstrating what can be found. When all, everyone thinks that this is lost, that Sylvia named the history. And what great hopes for all the researchers. But no questions.
I just wonder if you could just clarify when the Kalevala was actually compiled, and then when its German translation would be.
Yes.
Because you said it was surprising that nothing appears in 1890 or something.
Yes. The first edition was in 1835 and then in 1849. And then also came the first translations, of course. And so they were pretty well early, but you have to remember that the first Finnish opera at all was just premiered in 1852. And then there was a big gap in a way. And then the next one was just this Merikanto's Pohjan 80. So there was not this kind of opera life. There was no opera house, nothing like that. It was just the Swedish theatre, they had this kind of guest productions. And of course then the National Theatre, they started to make operas and they had some kind of department there for opera. But there was no opera house till 1993. So still it was then a great thing that that Paasius came up with this.
So you mean that the new opera house was built in
1993?
Yeah, it was opened
in 1993.
Of course, there was an opera
house
before.
Yes, of course, there was the Alexandrine Theater, and of course they did opera there, and they had the premieres there, but such thing as a real proper opera house. But I mean, even with the Swedish theater, it was, I mean, a difficult situation back then. Like if you compare it to other countries.
Martin, go ahead.
Yeah. What are the questions you have towards your source material, or is collecting that the project?
Well, it's the main part, or it has become clear that this is the main part. But the idea is to research on the evaluation and the reception of the operas, and. Thank you for this, because now the connections are so interesting. As I mentioned before, that Väinö Hannikainen was playing the harp in Erkki Melatin's opera some years earlier, and then I found another connection that some singer that was maybe not that popular, but he appeared in Merikanto's Pohjan 80 in 1960s, 16, and then later on he wanted to perform this opera again with some stuff, and they just didn't get the permission by Are Merikanto. He didn't want to give out the material, and then he decided to compose an opera himself. So, yes.
Well, thank you very much.